I think we have a Rick Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Armstrong of our council staff was scheduled to give you a presentation tomorrow, but since you are ahead of schedule, I've asked him to send me a copy of his presentation. Rather than subject you, though, to a secondhand interpretation of a PowerPoint, I will summarize the high points and the salient points that supported our council's recommendation for a quota that we finalized in October in Cape May at our Cape May meeting. We did recommend a 33% increase in the TAL. The ASMFC made a similar decision last week, also recommending a 20 million pound quota. So just to go through the SSC's recommendation, our SSC met in September and recommended an ABC of 15,200 metric tons. They identified and classified the stock as a Tier 3 stock. They did have a problem with the OFL estimate that came out of the updated track. And so the issue with that was that the FMSY proxy, which was set at F equals 0.325, was determined not to be viable because the forecast and projections associated with that showed a declining spawning stock biomass that, in fact, went below half of BMSY, which would potentially trigger another rebuilding period. They therefore substituted F target, which is 0.207, as the OFL, since the projections associated with that F rate attained BMSY. So that resulted in an OFL of 20,267 metric tons. They then used a probabilistic approach and selected the 35th percentile of the OFL distribution, resulting in an ABC of 15,200 metric tons. From there, the math is simply a matter of deducting the expected Canadian landings, U.S. discards, recreational removals, and coming up with the net TAL. So coming off of that ABC, the Canadian landings were estimated using 2009 numbers of 250,000 pounds. U.S. discards were 13 million. Recreational removals were 75,000 pounds, resulting in a net TAL of 20 million pounds. And our council accepted that recommendation. That came through the Joint Monitoring Committee as well as through the Joint Spiny Dogfish Committee for their review. And so the action that we proposed was 20 million pounds with a 3,000-pound trip limit for a one-year duration. And that summarizes the recommendations. And, again, that's a 33% increase in the TAL relative to last year's quota.
What was the TAL, Rick?
20 million pounds.
8,300,000-pound trip limit.
20 million pounds and a 3,000-pound trip limit.
Okay. So this is a jointly managed plan. So the New England Council needs to vote its preference on TAL and trip limit. The Mid-Atlantic Council has already done that. And I believe the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission has also voted. They voted 20,300,000 pounds.
That's correct. And just for additional context, as you're aware, they are developing an addendum. They initiated an addendum to move forward with state-by-state allocations in the southern region, and that will be considered in the first part of next year. We are working on Amendment 3 that could potentially change some of the structure there for the quota management, and we've got that on a slow track. We're waiting to see what happens there in the ASMSC since they're wanting to move towards state-by-state quotas, at least in part of the region.
My preference would be if we could get a motion on the board with a TAL recommendation and a trip limit, and then we can have a debate. Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Make a motion that the spiny dogfish quota be set at 20 million pounds with a 3,000-pound trip limit for the 2011-12 fishing year only.
Is there a second? Seconded by Rodney. Discussion? Dr. Pierce.
Well, I certainly appreciate the fact that it's an increased quota, 5 million pounds more than what we've been living with recently. And we're fortunate that the Canadian catch the Canadian landings are estimated to be very low, because if the Canadian landings were 10 million or 15 million, then that would come off the top and the U.S. would be left with the balance, far less than 15 million that we're harvesting now. I understand why the motion was made. I understand why the Mid-Atlantic Council opted for this particular number. I understand why the SSC acted the way it did. Frankly, on page 3 of the report provided to, well, it's number document number 3 under tab 9, a very good description, page 3, a very good description as to the logic that went into what the SSC concluded and what was then offered up to the Mid-Atlantic Council for its consideration. And, of course, they adopted it and modified it somewhat consistent with their control rules. I'll just simply state that I believe the TAL could be much larger than the 20 million pounds. I believe that the quota that that has been adopted by the Mid-Atlantic Council is based on a very cautionary value of fishing mortality, 0.207. Certainly it should not be 0.325. I agree with the SSC's conclusion that that is too high, but the 0.207 I believe is on the low side and is cautionary. Then add on to that the fact that it's reduced by, to get the ABC, it's reduced by 25%. It brings us down to the 20 million pounds. So, again, it's good news, but I think it could be better news. I will oppose the motion if for no other reason than I believe it is too precautionary, and we could easily go with a fishing mortality rate of around 0.244, 75% of the FMSY proxy, and we would certainly be in very good position relative to spawning stock biomass and the BMSY value. The projections are not in front of us in this particular document, so I can't reference them. But anyways, just as a matter of principle, the way I'm thinking now about the way in which we set these quotas for dogfish and, frankly, for other species, a subject matter to which I will eventually return, I'll oppose the motion on principle.
Anyone else in the council? The motion on the board? Rick?
Mr. Chairman, one point I failed to make in response to this issue. Because the SSC did not affirm the OFL that was the result of that track review, we have asked that in fact be refined. So we'll be asking the Science Center to update the up-based reference points so that as we go through the next spec cycle, we will have an updated reference point. And I would agree that there is room for some revision there, but the SSC was presented with a limited set of facts and determined that, in fact, the OFL was not appropriate and substituted F-target for that. But that is an area that can be refined, I think, and we will hopefully have an updated revision for us next year.
So the timetable on a new OFL projection is this time next year? Okay. Paul Howard.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Looking ahead to how the ASMSC and is going to allocate dogfish to the southern states in relationship with the Mid-Atlantic. So what we would be doing then in the future is saying that of the 20 million pounds, X amount would go to the southern states and a southern boundary, and then the rest would go to the northern boundary, I assume. And then that would mean that we would have to change our federal plan. And I'm sure you'll be working on this as you develop the Dogfish Amendment with us.
Indeed, Mr. Chairman. And so we have been monitoring very closely the developments at the ASMFC. We will be following along that process. And so it may be if they decide to go to the state-by-state allocated model that we end up setting the TAL at the federal level and then the landings are controlled at the state level through the plan, but that remains to be seen. So,
anyone else on the council? Anyone in the audience? Ted. I got Ted Platts. But I'll take Ted Lagenza first. No, I'll take Ted Platts. Then I'll take Ted Lagenza.
Ted Platts, Newport, Rhode Island, Gilnetter. Yeah, I'm glad to see the dogfish towel is going up. I don't know if New England can consider a separate landing limit. This is pretty low, and it pretty well constricts a directed fishery on dogfish. I'm kind of in my infancy in learning the regulations and procedures with dogfish, but I think it suffices to say that any fishery that routinely closes itself to, or any management plan that closes landings on a species for 6 months of the year in a region is not an effective management plan. Zero landings is, I think, by definition, a failure in a management plan because we know we don't have zero catch at any time of any species. So I think that's a problem. I'm not going to offer any solutions right now, but the approach is clearly flawed when it's the New England states are closed from landing dogfish for six months of the year. We're not stopping catching them. I would look to see a higher landing limit. I would also like to see this council consider closing fishery down to a bycatch limit rather than a zero landing limit in the month of August. The processors don't want them in August. You get a terrible price, but everybody knows that the towel is getting eaten up. And so you keep fishing, and you take the lousy price, and you fish through August, and you bring in a low-quality product because it's going to get closed by the end of August or early September. And maybe this will push it to later September, but it doesn't solve the problem that we're fishing at the least optimal time of year in terms of quality of product and price simply because we have a derby. And that's what this management plan is, essentially. And I think it's deeply flawed. It's moving in the right direction, and I'm glad the MID is starting to allow us to enjoy some of the benefits of their conservation measures in the past. But I think there's some serious flaws in this fishery management plan. Any management plan that closes the fishery for 6 months, obviously, has got problems. And the 3,000-pound limit at 27, 28 cents a pound, it's a pretty marginal day. I think we really need to take a serious macro look at how we're managing this stock and try and make it more effective for the fishermen so that we can bring in a better price at a higher product. And we should take the processors into consideration on this. They don't want this product in August, and we are burying with it in August, and that's a problem in New England.
Ted Lagenza.
There we go. Every year I see more dogfish, and I'm real conservative about dogfish because I fish for them, and I don't want to see them overfished. But my observation has been that every year there's more dogfish. So I would agree that I disagree with going along with that. I think that we should catch the most amount of dogfish that we can. I think it's an important consideration because dogfish are a predator. You can't harvest one predator and not harvest other fish. The other problem I have with the way the fishery is right now is that it lasts for a short amount of time. And I think the dogfish fishery should be run so that it lasts in through the fall when the buyers want them. And I don't see increasing the daily catch limit as a good idea because we used to have a 2,000-pound limit, and they were worth, for me, they were worth anyways a quarter because I fish in Chad and we get a poor price there. This year it went to 3,000 and the price went down to 15 cents. So it seemed to me increasing the amount of fish that we brought in per day decreased the price. I think that we should work in a way of harvesting the fish that we get the most amount of money that we can for them. Also, there's a lot of small boats that fish for dogfish, and their boats will only hold about 3,000 pounds. I guess that's it. But I don't know how to put it. I was blue fishing this year, and the most dogfish I ever caught while blue fishing was 150 pounds. And I regularly caught as much as 450 pounds to 500 pounds every single day of dogfish while I was blue fishing. So I see by far more dogfish than I used to. And that is not harvesting those dogfish is an incredible mistake because they affect the other fisheries. I don't think they should be all killed or anything like that, like a lot of guys, but I think we ought to catch them. I think it's your guys' job to facilitate that. And when somebody says that's not enough, you should take it seriously because it may not be enough and it affects all the other fisheries. You've got to take an ecological look at things of how one fishery affects another fishery.
Louis?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the point view of the processor, I agree with Ted. July and August are not a good time to fish dogfish. We have bad quality because it's too hot. There is no ice on the boats, and it is very difficult for us to process that fish. I told that several times with David Pierce. We did create a 1 year. We opened the 15th of August, and it did work out pretty good. Since then, nothing happened. So I will recommend that those 2 months, July and August, will be shut down, and that will permit us to sell in September and October when the market is much better. This year, well, we did freeze everything. We didn't send anything fresh where the market is, you know, the best. So I will recommend that we shut down those 2 months. Okay? Thank you.
Andy.
Mr. Chairman, Andy Baylor. I'm a wholesale dealer with dogfish. We're at it again on micromanagement, and it just seems that micromanagement on these abundant species does not work. It was brought up with the skates just a little bit ago. I think when someone said, what's the difference if you go from 5,000 to 3,000 skates, there's entrance coming into this fishery every day. Dogfish, like skates, is an open access fishery. The states sell permits to anyone who wants to buy one. You can't stop the landings. If you shut down at a period of time, do you have cooperation from another state shutting down? Great, shut down in July, August, or June, July. Well, Massachusetts has tried this, but then New Hampshire opens up. There's no consistency. This micromanagement has ruined this ability to market these fish. It's ruined the ability for boats to make a living because 100,000 boats are fishing them. Of course you have 200,000 pounds a day of dogfish to 300,000 pounds a day. It's too many because there's too many boats. So it's out of control. And you got to put a control on them. Now, we've talked for years, and I agree the only way to go is a state-by-state quota. The states, such as Massachusetts, with my experience, will manage that quota to its best use, to the best economic value. And at that point, you can put controls. And it's not just federal, it's state. So my advice is that's the way you move. And the micromanagement, like we're talking about in the skates, it's still a recipe for disaster. You can go to 3,000 pounds in skates. You're going to have a bunch of guys outfit state boats all of a sudden. Next thing you know, you're going to have 40 new gillnetters in federal waters. Thank you.
Anyone else? Okay, back to the council. Anything further from the council? Okay, just to let you know, because this is on the agenda for tomorrow, if somebody does come tomorrow and says, I came here to talk about dogfish, I will entertain their comments. If their comments are compelling enough, I will entertain a motion to reconsider, but I'm not anticipating that happening, but I just think it's the right thing to do. If somebody comes here tomorrow to talk about dogfish, that opportunity is available. But I'm going to call the question now. All those in favor, please raise your hand. I have 13 opposed. I have one opposed. Abstentions, one. Motion carries 13 to 1 to 1. Rick, anything else under dogfish?
That's it, Mr. Chairman. Obviously, as we move forward with Amendment 3, we'll look forward to the input through the joint committee, and we can continue to keep the council updated on that.
Thank you. Council members, anything else under dogfish? Okay. We're done for the day. We'll get back together again tomorrow at 8:30 for monkfish and then groundfish. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.